Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Penalty Loop Podcast, a podcast about biathlon by Jordan Gottschalk from Penalty Loop and a regular guest, RJ Weiss from Biathlon Analytics.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, RJ. How are you doing?
Jordan, good. I'm good. How are you?
Doing okay. It was a big weekend here. It was our daughter's one year birthday, so it was very exciting. Yes.
So did that go fast or slow or?
Oh, it was
unbelievably
ridiculously fast. Ridiculously fast. You know, like we were talking about it all weekend. You know, what were you doing a year ago? You know, and like a year ago today, you know, we're trying to figure out like, oh gosh, now we got two. Like, what do we do? Mm-hmm. We were obviously still at the hospital. We were going to go home bright and early the next day, and now she is working on walking. She is, you know, blowing kisses.
I
she's
hope
incredibly
that you've
social.
Learned from when Ben was young, and I hope that you yeah. gave her a pair of skis. Yeah.
Pair of skis. Yep. Yep. She's been in the pool already. you know, so it's just, it's pretty crazy how fast things go. She loves the dog like way more than Ben ever did. So that's very exciting for both of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember from that time where, you know, you went off radar for a bit, completely understandably, and that people were reaching out to me on Twitter or Instagram. Have you heard from Jordan? What's going on?
Here I am. I'm alive.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's been a wild year. It's been great. We had both sets of grandparents here for the birthday, and our house really isn't that big, so it was a lot of people. And I feel like just this evening we've sort of been just taking a breath and taking it all in, and how wild it all has been. And it's also interesting to watch just how Ben has grown up at the same time, right? How he's gone from being a 2-year-old, and he was always very sweet, but now he's like this real big brother, and he's showing her things. And yeah, time flies. You know it, right? Anybody who has kids knows it. All of a sudden, it's, you know, you look up and this little baby is turning into somebody who's walking, and your, you know, toddler is, you know, in third grade. And it's just, anyway, it all goes too fast.
Man, we just adopted a cat, and feels like the family expanded tenfold. So,
well, you telling me I need to adopt a cat?
I would wait for a while.
Yeah.
No, it's all
so.
Good.
Yeah.
So, have you been able to keep up with all the news in the biathlon world?
All the news? Probably not.
No, I say that.
Doing okay. Doing okay. Keeping up with things a little bit. You know, it's easier this time of year. It's both easier and harder, I think. There's less going on, but there's also, you have to really look for it, because in the United States, like, you just don't see it as much. So you have to actually go seek it out.
Right. So that's easy to miss. Yeah. Easier to miss something now, for sure.
Yeah. Yep. So
but anyway,
we got a couple things.
Also not that much. So.
Yeah. Right. Not as much of consequence going on. So we have a little bit of news that we'll cover. We'll talk about some national championships. We mentioned them briefly at the end of our last podcast, and then we will get into, I wrote a couple of pieces on the site that I wanted to mention about breakthrough athletes, rookies of the year, and then I had kind of a personal piece about Tarje, and I don't remember if we talked about it before, but just want to plug it again.
Well, I think you mentioned that you were going to post it.
Yeah. So anyway, so those are up, and we'll get into two of them, the breakthrough and the rookies, a little bit later. So,
I mentioned in the previous episode that I was going to do some analysis. I didn't get to. Well, I started the shooting speed on Emilien Jacquelin, but haven't finished that yet. But I did look into the wax and weather on a national level, if that had any, if we can see some outliers where nations did really well or not so well, et cetera. But you want to start with the national championships?
Yeah, let's start with some national championships.
Because I think the last time we mentioned Canada, that there was national championships after running into Adam Runnels the day before, or a couple of days before. And it's interesting when you look at the nationals, so many countries take different approaches. Like in Canada, they have the actual nationals in the sense of, you know, they have the level ones from the World Cup, but they also have like my friend Mike from the Monday night group was there racing in his category, and you know, all levels combined. And I don't actually know if countries like Sweden and France have that as well. They specifically race in their local teams or area teams. Mm-hmm. I think Norway does that as well. I think Germany doesn't have a nationals at all. Or maybe they usually do it in the summer, don't they? Like a summer national? Because I thought last time they did it at Germany.
Yeah.
I thought they did it at the same time as the Martin Fourcade last year that was in the news.
They did.
How can you plan it in the same weekend?
They do it, I haven't been paying attention. But they definitely do it in the summer. Generally,
I don't know, you just gave a little bit of an answer. How do you, do you add any value to the nationals, or what's your general thought on the national championships?
I think of them in the same ways I think of summer biathlon, and I find them interesting. And they're enjoyable to watch or pay attention to, but it doesn't mean much to me as far as who is better than who or, you know, predictive value for next year. Just because I think it's the end of a very long season and it can very much matter who cares, who is, still has any form left at all, you know? So. And
it kind of makes me think of a combination of, they probably have to do it for their national federations, mm-hmm. and they maybe do it to thank the local support.
Yeah,
in a way to just have a nice. But in the end, I think it's mostly serious fun, but it's probably still fun. Cause like you said, a lot of athletes have started their little break on maybe mm-hmm. eating a couple of things that they don't eat during the season, that kind of thing. And it's or often that just the non superstars win, right?
Yeah, very often. Yep.
So
I think it means more to them, right? Because this is their chance, right? This is their big race. They get to race against the guys who are on the World Cup, the women who are on the World Cup, and so, you know, good for them that they get out there and get that opportunity and get the races. I'm not saying that when you beat Tarje that it doesn't mean anything. I mean, it obviously does, but I don't know that those guys, the World Cup guys, who are out there giving their A level best,
right?
But
it's been a long year. There was only I know that Justin Brézat-Boucher, Vitozzi, and Veer were some of the athletes that either skipped it or couldn't make it or whatever the reason was. Jacquelin got it. I looked at his ski speed at the end of the season, and he seemed to be finally getting into prime shape at Soldier Hollow in Canmore. So maybe he peaked at the national championships skiing wise.
Could be. Maybe, you know,
I think it's also fun getting... that. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say he seemed to be getting better, you know, as the year went on. So maybe he just had a really, really late peak.
Yeah, and I'm jumping all over the place, but in your article that we'll talk about a little more about Tarje, I was surprised to see how Jacquelin has been very consistent in the last four seasons with, I think he was either fourth, fifth, or sixth in the World Cup 4 years in a row, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly. And I hadn't guessed that.
Yeah, because I think of him as being much more, you know, up and down, just like his his racing style, right? His race to race, or even in the same race, being up and down, and over the course of the whole season, it really sort of evens out to about the same performance every year. I don't
know. He's consistently up and down.
yeah, he's consistently inconsistent.
But you know, we mentioned it before, where every year he has a couple of races where he can win, and usually he wins one or two.
Let me look it up right now. I was gonna say, so if you look at him over the course of the last 5 years, with I'm gonna take out last year because he didn't really race last season, but just looking at his podiums, like he goes 5 podiums, 6 podiums, 3 podiums, 3 podiums. He's got a about a win a year in there, top tens. You know, he's always around the same level. He's just sort of. It doesn't always look like it, but he is.
I'm looking at his performance per season on Real Biathlon for rankings. From 1718 to 1920, so 3 years in a row, he was improving on everything. Then his shooting rank, hit rate rank, shooting time rank, all went down pretty steep. He corrected shooting time, not the past season, but the season before. And then this season, his shooting rank, hit rate rank, shooting time rank all went up, as well as his race rank and ski rank. So he's had a really good improvement in this last year.
So, and if you look at his overall ranks, right, back in 1920, he goes 5th, and then 7th, and then 5th, and then 16th when he only raced half the year, and then 6th. This is, sorry, I'm just looking at this right now, and it just sort of strikes me as being kind of funny. So he finished 6th overall this year, and he was 5th in the mass start rankings, 7th in the pursuit rankings, 12th in the sprint rankings, and 15th in the individual rankings. And all that came together for 6th overall, which is just very funny to me.
That, yeah, that is...
Yeah,
it's a bit odd.
Yep. So maybe more about Jacqueline than I expected to. More about Jacqueline than I expected to chat about today. But I think if you go back and if you were to listen to every single week in a row, we probably didn't start out this season talking about him too much. And I think that as the year we went on, we went talked about him more and more and more and more, coincided with this peak. But I think we talked about him more and more because we're fascinated by the.
How he kept losing his races, right? Where he was always in a chance to win, and then he kind of blew it.
With a shooting. It's just such a unique style, and I think we both appreciate it, and we both want really good things for him. It can just be a little frustrating at times.
Yeah. No, I was going to all the way back. I was also going to say. When we talk about the national championships, that also retired athletes join in. I think there was a French athlete who was stepping in, who was being retired. I guess one of the Gasparin sisters joined on the Swiss.
Oh, yeah. And Selena.
The one of the Swiss guy that's related to Heike Gross. So I think it's, so you have Rico Gross. He has a son, Marco. And is Marco Gross... Is he married to Heike Gross? Do you know?
Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's, and I think Marco Gross is the one that retired recently, but he was out racing again.
Nice. And speaking of the Rico Gross, right? So he was not retained by the Slovenian Federation to be their head coach again next year. Because of funding, it sounds like.
So didn't he also kind of got let go the season before?
Was he with Austria? And then he went to Slovenia 2 years ago. So he's been with Slovenia 2 years and then he got let go again. But again, it sounds more like funding than they were dissatisfied with what was going on with the team. Yeah. So,
it's hard, right? When you want to get a good coach, they're going to have some salary demands and...
Well, and you think
for a lot of these nations, it's on a year-to-year basis, whatever they get from the Olympic Committee often.
And of course, Slovenia, they've got Lampic, and they really need her to start shooting well to really reach her potential, which is sky high. And lose somebody who should be a very good shooting coach or has been a very good shooting coach.
Did you,
national championships, but
yeah, that makes me think. Now you told me about a Finnish coach. Was he the guy helping Vidotti making a complete turnaround of her shooting? Okay,
yeah,
maybe he can have a look at Lampic as well.
Well, I think he's tied to the Italian team for the next few years. So,
oh, okay, yeah, I wasn't sure if she just worked on an individual basis with him. Yeah, nationals. That brings me back to Jacqueline because they did a mass start and he had six misses in a mass start and still won by a significant margin. So I think that's kind of where I thought, wow, his peak must have come at the end of the season. And then the women's mass start was won by Sophie Chauveau. with Simon and Jean Monnet second and third.
You know, good for her. I said I don't put a lot of stock into it and how it predicts for next year, but this is kind of one of those rare instances. No, I'm probably going to do this a lot where I'm going to break my rules and say, you know what, it's a good marker for her. Just, I mean, she's going against Simone and Jean Monnet, but Chavot also raced the whole year on the World Cup. So It's not like she is coming from a different level or had, you know, so I think that was a good showing.
I do wonder though, and we'll never know, but if Simon or Jean Monnet is in third place, you know, with the last stretch of skiing and they're like 20 seconds behind, are they really going to make a final push or they're going to be like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, I gotcha.
I don't know. But they're probably also happy for Chavot to win. So, in Italy, like I said, Vitozzi and Beer weren't there on the women's side, and Rebecca Passler won both the sprint and the mass start. And Hofer and Giacomel, I think, traded places, but I'm not sure about that. But Hofer won the sprint and Giacomel the mass start.
About the women for a second, obviously Vitozzi and Veer not being there opens up a lot. But, you know, to me, it seemed like Passler, of all of the women who were kind of on that next tier, so the Hanna Akintolar or Samuela Comola.
Finello.
Was that?
Finello or the on the men's side, I guess you were.
Just in that range, they Passler seemed to have like the least amount of success this World Cup season. So nice for her to at least have something at the, maybe just like a springboard to next season, just something to, like, hey, I can still do it, right? I can still compete on that level. Yep. I'm not going to get overtaken.
Oh, for sure.
So nice for that. And I don't think that either one of us are surprised to see Giacomel and Hofer at the top of the men's side.
Right. Yeah.
Although had a great year, but or good year.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Switzerland, Gasparin won the sprint and Heike Gross the mass start. And on the men's side, Finello winning the sprint ahead of Hartwig and Stoller. And he also won the mass start. And I think if I remember correctly, his shooting was pretty good.
Yeah, because he's always pretty fast, but just that pesky shooting. So, which Gasparin sister won the sprint?
Aita.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
good for her. That's nice.
Sweden was again. I don't know if there was some athletes that were happy with that result and maybe didn't push the full effort, but Jesper Nellin, who just officially retired, finishes on a high in Sweden, winning the sprint, the mass start, and the single mixed relay with Anna Magnusson, his partner.
Yeah.
So that was
pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. And I tried to look it back because I know it was broadcast on the Swedish TV, and I think it's accessible anywhere, but I haven't been able to do that yet. And Elvira and Hannah split the prices on the individual races, Hannah winning the sprint and Elvira the mass start. And there was something special about the single mixed relay. Any idea?
You tell me.
There was a team that had two women. And I just named them.
So Hannah and Elvira ran together in the single mixed?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I don't know if this, again, was just nationals, we can just try it out, or if there wasn't enough men or whatever it was. But because obviously a guy couldn't race, like you couldn't have two guys.
Yeah.
Or two men. But I wonder if it's actually, if it would be allowed to have two women. I actually don't think so, but.
Probably not. But, I mean. Probably not. I can't think of a good reason why not, but I don't anticipate it being.
I still like our idea better, where you just have, you know, a mix of nations who only have one athlete that they can put on there, and then just have them fight for the unofficial result.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
But still get the experience. And yeah, no, totally.
Yeah. It doesn't take away from anybody else. Doesn't count for points, right? It just it's unofficial result. You mentioned, with the Swiss, when you mentioned Aita Gasperin, sorry, it just triggered a thought and I wanted to confirm it before I said anything, but she did have a good start finish to the season. So maybe like Jacqueline, she just peaked a little bit late. She set a career best in Soldier Hollow with an eighth place and call it 15th place in the pursuit. So, maybe just had a late season surge.
And then the last one I found information on was the one in Norway, which is also available on the NRK, the national television, and it's viewable, in Canada, I'm assuming, all over the world. Notton and Tannevold, and there's some other athletes who weren't participating. But Juni Arnaklive won the sprint, and Marte Johansson Krokstad. Not sure, won the mass start. And Simon Kirkeide, who is Maren Kirkeide's brother, won the sprint. And Harald Ogard won the mass start just ahead of Tarje. And then also on Norway, we had a retirement from Jenny Enod.
Uh-huh.
Who was doing pretty good in the IBU Cup and only 28 years old. I don't know the reason why, but she retired. And there was a couple of Russians who announced her retirement, but
ready for something new, I guess.
Yeah, the World Cup. Sorry.
Yeah, ready for something new, I guess. Jenny, it's not like if she was a 28-year-old man, I could maybe see it with just with how much talent there is and sort of the logjam but you would think that at some point she would get
I just think even on a women's side who would it's not as strong as a men's side, but still if you're 28 and you're second in the IBU Cup and you feel that the World Cup is still so far away because there's younger athletes on the IBU Cup that do just as good as you do.
Well,
but again, clearly, maybe there was an injury or whatever it was, right? So,
what I was going to say is that you've got Ida Lien who clearly is favored and for good reason. She's got a very unique talent with her speed. By the Norwegian Federation Kirkeide and somebody sent us that email, and I really appreciate it. The Norwegian Scandinavian languages are difficult for me. I mean, they all are, let's be honest. English is difficult for me, but I'm trying. Juni Arnaklive, right? So it's just a lot of young women who are going to be fighting in Tangerfold is still only 28. So it's not like there's this big group of women who are, Knoten is in the same age range. None of them are retiring at any point in the near future. So it's kind of a busy time with the national championships.
Baiba's still skiing in Norway. I saw on Instagram.
She's having a great time with her family. Yeah.
And there was, Matthias sent an email that he, or a message that he was still skiing in Arbor. In Germany, who got some fresh snow, I believe.
Well, it looked pretty gross there a couple of weeks ago, so.
Yeah. And I haven't skied in Camor for a couple of weeks because the range is closed for maintenance for a couple of weeks, but we skied in Kananaskis, which is not that far from Camor, about an hour's drive. And the snow conditions were still pretty good, especially in the morning. Got a little wet and mushy in the afternoon, but. Yeah,
well,
they're closing the hill.
Snow conditions were bad here. It was about 33 here yesterday, so
starting to melt.
Yeah, pretty quickly.
Time to get those roller skis out there, Jordan.
Like I will be the Floridian roller tail, Florida man on skis. It's pretty scary.
You could be national champion. The state champion.
State champion. I will be the state champion. It should be me. I just have to
Unless
show
it's
off.
It's a Florida Open.
Yeah. a couple other news and notes things. I mentioned Rico Gross is out from Slovenia, but I saw that I believe Tilda Johansson is going to be continuing her career. She was not certain on it. She stepped away kind of mid-season, and she has decided that she will continue, but she is not going to be training with the rest of the national team. So she's going to be on her own training with the club. I guess if she feels that that's the best for her, then good for her.
Sorry, Deb was?
Tilda Johansson from Sweden.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she, yep. So I think after last, you know, last season, she came into this year with some expectations and wasn't quite there, was just felt like she was continuing to run into a wall, not recovering well from COVID, and stepped mm-hmm. away for a bit. And yeah, I'm happy to see she's going to give it another go and doing it on her own. And I guess she feels like that's her best path to success. And yeah,
well, good. I also think with the season the Swedes had, you know, for many other nations, a great season, but for their expectations, maybe not mm-hmm. quite where they wanted to be. And
yep.
I don't know. Maybe who knows what the reason is, but yeah, hopefully that didn't deter her from trying again.
Yeah.
Do
sure.
you have you happened to see anything about the Swedish athlete that had to have shoulder injury or shoulder surgery?
I have not seen anything about Lynn Pearson. I can check on Instagram right now.
Hmm.
But while I'm thinking about it, Marit Skogen. The Norwegian woman is also going to be training on her own this year. She's going to be training with her club and not with the national team. So, she had kind of an interesting year. She sort of, I wouldn't say came out of nowhere, but had a really impressive, you know, preseason, claimed a spot on the World Cup team, had some really good early season success, had a podium in there, and then kind of fell apart. And just had a really rough second and third trimester. Mm-hmm. So maybe she saw what she did with her club in the off season and said, you know what, that really got me prepared for the year. I would like to go back and do that.
Yeah.
So that'd be cool. Right. I'm hopeful for her.
And it's in reality, probably the only option they have if they're not on the, you know, A or B team in Norway.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there was somebody else too. Oh, Hanna Kabinger. I just saw that she's been posting a lot about, you mentioned skiing in Norway. I think she's been up there training as well. And from her posts, I mean, she sounds like she's just feeling rejuvenated. So that's making me feel optimistic about her next year as well.
Yeah.
It also is vacation time for the athletes. So we've been seeing a bunch of athletes getting away. I don't know if anybody's been following along, but Anna Gondler and Amelia and Claude went on vacation up, and yeah,
it's, I don't know if just, they acted, but it seems like, you know, we know her being like super excited to do these things,
yes,
and then it seems
yes.
like she's dragging him into it against his
yes,
will,
it
more
does.
Or less.
Yeah.
And it's so funny.
It's fantastic. So I highly recommend everybody, if you don't have Instagram, just get it just for this, right? And go check it out, because they're having a great time on this vacation. And I'm very much enjoying it. I think I sent her a message, or if I didn't, I was thinking about it, just being like, you know what, you guys are like our podcast couple, and it's just fun having them around.
Oh,
so.
Totally.
So that's been fun.
I thought about sending her a message that they should do a biathlon video in the desert.
Oh yeah, right.
So great.
And then, like, I think Leah Meyer's been on vacation. She looked like she was on a nice beach somewhere. And anyway, it's really nice seeing these. I think this is one of my favorite times of the year. You know, you get to see them all doing just totally different things, hanging out and just being human beings, right? Not being athletes.
Yeah.
Just out there and. Having fun.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if we brought it up earlier when it came out, maybe, but the schedule for next year, not including Östersund. I think that's been a while that they were out.
Interesting. I know I had taken a look at the schedule and just didn't it didn't sink in that that was what was happening.
Mm-hmm. But Kontiolahti is the first one. Anna Sees back on the schedule. Lenzerheide, obviously, with the World Championships. Mm-hmm. And then Oslo, the typical ending of the season. And then the season after, so the 2025-26, Östersund is back as the first race weekend. And the Sea will be on there again as well. And Kontiolahti will still be on there, third last. And then Otepää will be back.
Excellent. Oh, yeah. I'm happy to go back to Otepää. That was fun. And I think Polkiyuka is in next year as well.
That's right.
In the third trimester.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be great.
So, if I got the order right, then Antholz would be the World Championship site for 25-26?
It will be the Olympics.
The Olympics,
but yes,
of course.
Yeah. But it will be Antholz, yes.
Yeah. Could have figured it out myself, but yeah.
Yeah. I have no doubts about your ability to work that through.
But... it's one of those things when I ask the question, I'm like, Dumbo.
Yeah. I gotcha. It was funny, actually, when they first announced that Milan was going to be hosting the Olympics. I was like, huh. Because, you know, Milan and Antholz are not like right next to each other. And I was like, are they going to like build a whole new biathlon, arena and everything over and on that side of the country? It's like, no, they're just going to use what already exists. That makes a lot more sense.
That is a bit weird, hey? Because when I think Milan, I think, you know, Inter Milan and AC Milan, the soccer clubs, but I don't recall a World Cup speed skating or I'm sure there's Italian ice hockey, but you know, it's not like a well-known place for it.
I don't know. I'm sure it's going to be one of those situations where they have like the curling and the arena sports will be in Milan and everything else is going to be scattered across northern Italy.
Yeah. Yeah. And my guess is they pick Milan because it's, I believe, the biggest or one of the big cities closest to the Alps there and the Dolomites.
And it's obviously it's got all the history and it's the fashion center, right? And so they can, there's so much they can do.
I thought in the past they had an Olympic Winter Olympics in Madonna di Campiglio.
Did they really?
I thought. No, I want to look it up, but
it was. Anyway. I don't see it. They had a Youth Olympics 1983. Anyway, more research. Yeah. We got plenty of time. 2026. We got time.
Well, you say, yeah, that's true.
I wanted to ask you this actually. So, if you were going to go to an event next year, which one would you go to?
In the Winter Olympics?
No. It's just a World Cup stop next year.
Oh.
And you can't choose Lenzerheide, right? So you got to choose one of the weekends.
I think, that's a tough one. I'm my first eye went on Oslo because it's the end of the season and the crowd is amazing. And, you know, you have the ski jump in the background there. But Annecy would be very close to be my favorite pick. Antholz, I would probably wait a year and then go to the Olympics.
That's fair.
But you know what? I'm actually going to say Annecy.
Yeah. That Annecy was my pick as well. Yeah. I was going to say, it came down to Annecy versus Ruhpolding. But yeah.
Oh,
just because I think the stadium being like right on top of the just kind of a unique situation there.
It's funny because I went down the list and places like Oberhof and Ruhpolding and Oslo and maybe even Novo Mesto have me worried about snow, where I feel with Annecy, although, there's no guarantees anymore, but Annecy, I feel more comfortable that there will be, winter picturesque. No,
sure.
Nice footage and true winter, but...
Yeah. And the crowds
give me a free trip to any, and I'll be happy.
Right. Yeah, so IBU, we are ready to go. If you want to just
you want to expand to North America, then
yeah. So, all right. Any other news that you've run across?
I did do some wax analysis because I was just curious if you know, we have the example of QFM in Antholz, where he was, you know, basically passed by a couple of jets in the last lap. Like we said, Emilien Jacquelin was super fast in Soldier Hollow. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to see if there was any, you know, logic, if it could be connected to certain WEC teams. But I basically looked at performance expressed in where an athlete was percentage-wise between the fastest skier of a race and the number 60 ranked skier.
Sure.
Ranked in course time. Mm-hmm. And then just basically did a percentage. Then I calculated the average percentage of that performance for the athlete, and then just basically looked at individual races if they were, you know, very far off that season average or not. And I did, you know, obviously find some individual outliers that were very different from the average, but I tried to combine it with teams. I tried to combine it with ski brands. I tried to combine it with both. And then also looked at the snow temperature during the race. And I basically had to come to the conclusion that there was not really any evidence that WAC teams had, you know, let's say they did really well. The French team did really well for the Salomon skis on warm days or anything like that.
Yeah.
Again, on an individual basis, but nothing that I could connect to the team, the WAC team, for example.
You know, that's interesting because, you know, that's one of those situations where I think, you know, your eyes will lie to you a little bit, right? Or, you know, what you think you're seeing is not really borne out by the data. What you're really seeing is the individual athlete, not the skis.
For the men with temperatures above zero, was there any time where all of the athletes did really well or not? And there was really nothing to support that. So hours down the drain. No, I'm just kidding. Like you said earlier, before the episode, it's still, you know, result is a result, even if it's not what you
not the result we were looking for. Yeah.
But there's some other ideas that came out of this. So
good. Yeah. More hours down the drain.
Now, his, Jacqueline's shooting time is the next analysis.
Oh, yes. I want to do. I'm so excited about that one. I guess that's going to be my favorite. Sorry, that just reminded me. I had this whole thing I wrote, and it was like 3/4 of the way done with it. And I reread it. I read through it, and I was like, this is terrible. And I was like, I just spent a week on this, and it's like, you know, select all, delete. And I just like,
it's such a horrible feeling, right?
I know. Like, this is just, like, I can't do this.
This is not really. And then you're like, maybe if I take a different spin on it.
Oh, no. Yes. Yeah. I started out with this idea, and it turns out there wasn't a whole lot to the idea. And if I just would have actually tried to plot out what I was going to write before I did it, I would have come to that conclusion. But, you know,
I chuckle because that's exactly.
Yeah.
I go down these rabbit holes of investigating things. And
yeah. It's like, well, that was just a waste. Just anyway, it's just really frustrating because then you got nothing to show for it. And
I still always want to post it on my blog. You know.
Yeah, it's like, we'll see. I wasn't doing nothing. Like, I actually did something. And I just, you know,
But I'm feeling like I know I'm not a good writer. I'm more of a, you know, a bullet list of facts kind of writer guy. And then if you have nothing to come to a conclusion to in the end, it's like, I don't know. But
here we are. Anyway. This is what we got. Speaking of blogs, I'm going to be a little bit more consistent with it this summer. Most of the time I just take this huge break in the summer, but there are enough people who are, you know, following along even like a month after the season. So, I'm just going to keep putting stuff up. So, I put up
as
the break.
As a, sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
I'm just always curious as a English second language, theoretically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when somebody says, I'm going to be more consistent, does it imply that you're going to be more frequent? Because I always think,
more frequent,
like you said,
more frequent.
Typically, yes. Every summer, I don't do much. To me, that's very consistent.
Yes. No. You are correct. You are correct. I will be more frequent with my posting.
Okay. And I'm not picking on you. It's just curious.
No. That's an excellent question. That's an excellent question. Just because that more people were reading. So breakthrough seasons, rookies of the year is coming up. I'm going to do something kind of fun with the nations. Kind of give them like made up awards. For each nation a little bit later, and then I've got some other ideas, and we're just gonna keep it rolling and see what we can do. It's gonna keep me busy over the summer. I don't have a baby this year, so
a 1 year old is so much quieter, right?
Well, it really what it means,
especially
is
when
really,
they start crawling and walking.
Yeah, she's sleeping through the night. That's really what it means. And so I've got this block of time between when they go to bed and when I go to bed that I actually can do something. That was not the case last year at this time.
Fair enough.
So we got that.
Any other things?
Speaking of, was that?
Any other things?
Oh, I was just going to say, speaking of, I did write the breakthrough season, so I was going to go through it with you and just see your thoughts on these athletes and what you would say about them. So, I broke them up by categories, basically just so I could sort of organize them in my head. And just so before we get started, I have a pretty broad definition of breakthrough, right? So there's the breakthrough of the athlete who was somebody you maybe had heard of but didn't know a lot about, and then they get a handful of, you know, top 30s, top 20s, you start to recognize their name. So that's kind of a breakthrough because you recognize their name. There's the athlete who's in that top 20, top 30 range who starts getting a few top 10s. There's the, you know, athlete who becomes a top 10 athlete, and then there's the athlete who goes from being very good to very great. And this will all make sense as we go through it. But just so you know, not all breakthroughs are made the same.
Okay.
All right. So category one, the already good or already very good and now great. I had Lou Jean Monnot, and I had Tangervold, and I had Brezal Boucher as the ones who leapt for me anyway. Going from top 10 athletes to obviously competing for the globe. And they all did that, in my opinion, this year. And I don't think we need to boost, but talked about them a lot. So if you want to just skip on through to some other more interesting or less discussed athletes.
The things that came to my mind is Jean Monnot. I wouldn't put her in that thing because I wouldn't consider her as already very good last year.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But that's basically because she escaped my radar or was off my radar a little bit. And I would have gotten Justin Brézard-Boucher already in the contenders.
Yeah. Already up there.
Categories last year. But I mean, they definitely improved a lot again.
Yeah. No, I, yeah. So, And they kind of got lumped together because they finished in the top, you know, second, third, fourth, right? So they all went up there. I have another category here. This is our I'm calling this mid-career surge from occasional top 10 to regular top 10 and higher. So in here I have Lena Hockey Gross, and I have Caroline Knoten, and I have Janina Hettig-Volz, who finished. So Hockey Gross was sixth overall, Knoten was ninth overall, and Hettig-Volz was 10th overall. And I gave them each a statistic and I'm going to call it a statistic because it's just sort of a thing, something that I noticed about them. So for Hockey Gross, I noted that she made 5 podiums this year. Having come into the season with just a single podium, and she ended up with 5 podiums and 2 wins. Her first 2 wins. So, you know, that was kind of her thing that we really noticed that, hey, she was standing on top of the podium a lot. For Knoten, her skiing took a major jump. So this is the first time in her career that she was faster than the average biathlete. So she went from being just a tad slower last year. Was that?
From a plus to minus kind of.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, she was 47th overall in skiing last year and then 24th this year. And that kind of made all the difference in the world, even with her only her shooting dropping from 87% to, or from 92% to 87%. And then Hedvig Waltz. I noted her shooting time has come down dramatically over the last three seasons. So she went from 30.1 seconds to 28.1 seconds to 26.7 seconds.
Yeah, I was just curious. Maybe she's in a different category, but Uni Arnaclave?
Was she considered? Is a rookie, so she is going to be in the rookies of the year list. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. So I also noted that too, right? So rookies, basically, they weren't eligible for this just because I had to I had to have something else to write
about. Fair enough.
Yeah. So I just these were all those three. These three women were. I thought when I think of breakthroughs, this is the group I think of, right? Is that mm-hmm. you've known them, you've seen them, you kind of had some hopes for them, but they never had quite gotten there. And then all of a sudden they're like, whoa, you know, here they are, you know,
yeah,
consistently.
I like that you mentioned Heike Gross first, because obviously with the two wins, she's definitely the one that sort of stands out as one of those athletes who's been around a long time and finally had a breakthrough year. So
This was her 10th year on the World Cup, and I know we've said that a lot, but like this was her 10th year, and before this season she had five career top fives, and she ended the season with two wins and five podiums. And I mean, that's just I mean, she did everything,
and
right?
I find it remarkable that, you know, if you've been if you're from Switzerland or Czech or you know, not the top dogs, your goal is still to win at least races.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then to go 9 years without that, to still find that motivation and the belief in yourself that it's going to happen.
Yeah. After having spoken with Nicholas Hartweg, it really makes me want to talk to the Swiss coaching staff, right? And just see what was right. Cause it really seems to have made some, like you said, she's been 10 years and she is reaching her physical peak years, but still that's a pretty impressive jump this far into it. And so I just want to know what their trick is, what they did. So, cause she skied faster, she shot better. I mean, it was her career best shooting year, 84.3%. So, she hit 87% prone, which was 5% better than she's ever shot in either prone or standing in her career. I mean, that's a big jump.
Wow. That's incredible. So,
Yeah. Good for her.
See, and I'm always curious then to ask, what did she change?
Right. That's what I want to know.
If she did, who knows? Could just be,
or is it just mental,
it's also,
right?
Yeah. But it could also be, you know, I'm thinking every athlete likes certain conditions better than others.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody, like I hate shooting in the rain when it's like drizzly and I just can't stand it. Makes me uncomfortable just being in there. So if you have a season where you don't have any race in rainy conditions, maybe that brings up your percentages a bit too, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Was there something like that? Did she just do better in warmer conditions? And that's what made the difference for her. She's really hoping for global warming.
Oh man! Did I tell you that I had a dream about?
No,
I dreamt that
about
we had
global
Christmas
warming or
at
Lena
home.
Hockey Gross.
No. That I had a dream that we were celebrating Christmas in the morning by the Christmas tree in our house.
Yeah,
and then I turned on the TV because there was World Cup racing, and it was roller skiing. And I don't know. And it was one of those dreams that didn't make sense, you know, when you go from one place to the other with a blink of an eye. But I did remember when I woke up and I'm like, oh man, did I just have a look in the future? Did 10 years from now, I'm going to be like, I've dreamed this before.
Yeah. And I know we'll be doing this in 2034 and be like, hey, RJ, remember you had that dream back in April of 2024? That's a nightmare.
Sorry for this negative mindset, but
Yeah. So we mentioned Knoten and her skiing and Hettig Faults, and she was just been steadily improving her shooting. The other thing I'll say about Hettig Faults is that she's the youngest of these three women, so hopefully, and not just the youngest, but I think the least experienced. I mean, she's only run 90 career races. You know, that's about a season less than Knoten and Hakke Gross has run 199 races. So that's hopefully there's some more ceiling that she can uncover. Hettig Faults, she's improved her skiing from sort of middle of the pack to being upper middle of the pack, and she was 25th in skiing or 24th in skiing last year. And her shooting percentage is 86%, 86.3%, 87.8%, slowly trending upward. So maybe there's just a little bit more she can find. And I'll be honest, like, I don't know that I would have predicted this from her a year ago. So,
who could have predicted anything on the German women's side?
It's very true.
How it turned out this year.
We had
high hopes for Kabinger, and she was out after a couple of races, I think.
Yeah.
And then, you have all these young athletes popping out of the ground out of nowhere and just, having podium results and relay results. And
right. It was, yeah. So we'll get to that when we talk about rookies of the year.
Sure.
But for Hettig Faults, from her career before this, she had 6 career top tens, and then she had 8 from Linzerheide through the end of the year. So 8 top tens in 18 races. So pretty close to 50%. Anyway, like I said,
so on the women's side,
yeah.
Who comes first to your head when I say who's the captain of the team?
For the women?
Yeah.
I mean, it's still Preutz.
Yeah.
But you got to show up.
See, I already see Vogt as...
Yeah, you see Vogt? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. I just the talent of Preutz is so much... I shouldn't say so much higher. Performance that we have seen.
Who listened from Germany or German-speaking languages, I'm pretty sure that... last week, Extra Runde podcast came out with an interview with Preutz.
Oh, did they really?
I haven't listened to it yet, but
so
from the title, it suggested that she's, as in German they say, somebody's in the fall of their career, as in the season. But again, I haven't listened to it, so I don't know if that was a big thing or not in the conversation, but worth a listen.
I will say we had a listener send us a message, and I read it, and I already mispronounced her name several times. It is Preutz, right? So I always put a TZ, like a hard ending on it. And I apologize. So again, and I say this sincerely, send us your emails. I do read them. And if you have pronunciation guides, like I'm more than happy to take the feedback and do it, because I want to get it right. I'm not doing it intentionally, so thank you.
And I apologize. I do appreciate it too, but I don't think, like, for me it's more like the K in Dutch is a K. So pronunciation of Schierkeide is just very unnatural to me.
I don't know
why I say Preutz.
Because you've heard me do it for 2.5 years now. That's why.
I don't know. No, I've had German in school. I know what a Ringel S, how it's supposed to be pronounced, but I don't know. Just kind of stuck in my brain, I guess.
So I have another group of some...
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's the Eric Perreault group, because I didn't really know. I haven't anybody else I could link up with him, but I think we've talked about him a lot, just how, really by mid-year sort of felt like he was establishing himself as maybe not right now or, the leader of the team, but Well, maybe he is, right? We've had that conversation a lot. So anyway, just wanted to mention him as another one. He's only 55 career races. He got his first win this year. He is getting better, right? So he is getting a little bit faster and shooting a little bit better each year. I mean, last year he was 12th in skiing, so he doesn't, not that many more guys left he can catch, but, yeah, right. So shooting comes along. I also mentioned, was that?
No, I was wondering about, Jacques Rommel, because, obviously he had a great season the prior season. And then again, this year, but you know, we've also talked about, having a great season and then the following season not being as good.
Oh, I know. Right.
I was pretty impressed with how he, you know, basically kept continuing to perform really high.
That should be like, that's almost like a different category, you know, like because we see it, right? People who have the breakthrough and then regress. And, I think that the ability to make the breakthrough and then to hold it is like that's a, you should write this down. It's something to research. The breakthrough people who are, I should write it down. The breakthrough who able to maintain.
Yeah. I already wrote a couple things down to analyze as well. So
my favorite group was the Eustace Strela group, was you don't have to be fast when you shoot like this. He shot 93.8%. Like, you don't have to be the fastest man in the world. But you know, he was fast enough this year to be recognized and make it to 14th overall, and
win the race in Antholz, I believe, with Vogt, the mixed.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Talk about an athlete who is not the fastest, but shoots really well.
Exactly. Right. So, I mean, it's just, you don't have to be incredibly fast to get six top tens if you shoot 93.8%. Right. Hopefully he gets a little bit faster. Got some room to grow. He's been shooting like this for years now, so hopefully he can keep it up. And then I had, I think, a group of our favorites, or women we've talked about a lot, with Teresa Vorbonikova and Anna Gondler. I think that they're both very similar in that they're both 23 years old. They both, at different times, showed that they can get consistently in the top 10. Of course, Anna Gondler finished with that just incredible streak in Soldier Hollow and Canmore. And we've talked about her a lot. And but I just wanted to mention that over the last half of the season, so her last 11 races, her average finish was 10.2, which is actually tied for Tangerwald's average finish for the entire season. Now, it's a lot different to do it for an entire season versus half a season, but you know, it's pretty good.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then you know, really for Gondler, it was all about shooting. That last 11 races, when she did that, she hit 90%, which would totally change the game for her. She went from,
although she skied very fast too, right?
She did, yeah. But the bigger for her, the bigger improvement was in her. In her shooting. So she also shot a little bit faster too, which was, we've mentioned this a lot, but something she's really worked on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, for Bonikova, she was, a little bit different. I think she was more of a, consistent athlete. She had, you know, 15 finishes in the top 20 this year, which is just a really high rate. She actually had more than Anna Gondler did, even though they finished very close to each other in the overall rankings. It was just that she didn't really have highs or lows this year. She just kind of maintained a really steady, steady presence. So, good for her. And then really quickly, I just want to run through this last couple. I had, Didier, Bionat, his previous high overall finish was 46th. This year he was 21st. Tuli Tuomingas, very similar. 46th up to 23rd. Huge improvement there. Campbell Wright, really came on at the end of the year. You know, it was a very slow start to the season, but you know, once the second trimester got going, he really ratcheted it up and showed how high his potential is, you know, getting in not just the top 10 but into the flowers. Regina Ermitz.
He definitely had a very up and down season as well, right? Because he had some bad.
Very much so. Yeah. And he started out, he was sick to start the season.
Right.
He had some poor training.
And it's also, you know, as a young athlete, that's, I think, to be expected, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, for the last 10 races of the season, just like Gondler, I did the same thing where I looked at, you know, how he finished the year. His average finish was 15.4 for the last 10 races of the season. That was around where Jacques Amel was, who obviously won the U25. So, you know, it's hard to extrapolate, right? Because that's the key, is you have to do it for the full season. But if he is able, if that was actually his true potential, if he can come into next season healthy, you know, maybe he won't be that good for the entire season, but you should expect to see him much higher up in the standings. Right. You know, and it was just for him, he skied faster, he shot better, and he shot faster. So it was just all around good. And then I tacked on a couple at the end here. Just these are the category of, maybe you had heard of him, maybe you hadn't, but you certainly heard of him this year. Regina Ermitz, who had a handful of top 20s at the end
of
the year.
She had a breakthrough, really.
Yeah, she really did.
But Tomingas too, if you think about it.
Tomingas had a huge breakthrough.
Yeah.
Tomingas had individual great races. This year she had a great season. I actually put down for her, for the key statistic for Tomingas, it was races run. She ran all 21 races, and that was the first time in her career. And the reason I noted that was because she was consistently good enough to make it into all the pursuits and make it into all the mass starts. I just really, you know, just to show that consistency, you know, skiing well, you know, shooting pretty good. So she shot. So this is the interesting thing I thought about for her, was that Tomingas hit 80.3% and Hedvig Waltz hit, I don't remember the numbers, but you know, they skied about the same, basically. And then the difference in their overall ranking was all about their skiing, or their shooting, excuse me. So anyway. And then I had Natalia Sidorovich and Joanna Jakiela as well. Shout out to Tobias Torgerson.
Yeah,
I just wanted to put a couple of his women, but in all seriousness, that wasn't just because
their
of
whole team,
interviewing
right?
him, but was that? Yeah.
The whole but seriously, women's Polish team breaking into the top 10 nations.
Yeah. Breaking into the top 10 nations. And then also, you know, like they all, I mean, Anamaka and had some really good finishes a little bit later in her career, but you know, both Sidorovich and Jakiela, both, I think they fall squarely into the category of, you may not have heard of them, but you certainly noticed them this year, you know, not all the time, but a handful of times.
Yeah. But enough to not, you know, not to be considered a one day.
Right.
Outlier. Yeah.
And I think I would be curious what Tobias would say now, you know, to interview him after the season, but, and that's one of the people I want to reach out to, but,
I don't know if he still wants to talk to us after I didn't mention him on the,
well, you know, we'll, maybe it'll just be me and him. And, but I was thinking about like for the Polish team that, the mass start, I think they had both Jakiela and Sidorovich in it. Mm-hmm. And because earlier in the season, he'd been really excited about having one woman in the mass start. And then to get two in was just a really nice, it was just a good marker of where the Polish team was going.
Wasn't the first time ever that there was it all three or four Polish women qualifying for the pursuit?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was the first time ever, but it was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, they had a great season.
So that's the whole list. There's a lot more information on the site. I just kind of wanted to give a taste of it, and I hope people go in and check it out. There's a lot more written about each athlete, and just have fun with it. It might take you more than one sit to read through because it's quite long. I have a problem. I talk too much and I write too much.
But you know, it's. The article.
See,
about
this is why it's good.
Totally worth reading. It was a lot of fun to read. So.
It's not that I'm not open about my personal life. I just, there just was no reason to surely share that story. So anyway, Torrier is connected to me and how I,
I'm kind of, was happy that you weren't making it out of Canmore. Cause if we would have run into Torrier at the parking lot, I don't know if he would have potentially embarrassed himself.
I would have wept. No. So don't joke. So like Torrier is like when, you know, I think I've told people this before, but like in read the piece, but I had always enjoyed biathlon, but it was the Vancouver Olympics is when I, you know, read the piece, but that's when I was like, hey, this is awesome. Like, I really want to get more into this. And it was the following season and Torrier ended up winning the overall globe. And so you could really say that like Torrier winning the globe, you know, like that was a lot of why it captured me so much anyway. So,
yeah. But I also think the fact that, you know, he's the same age as you.
Yes. It has a lot
that makes
to do
a difference,
it.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That just makes you connect more easily
to
someone,
you know?
Yeah.
And for the same reason, like, you know, he was the same age as me and look, I didn't have a whole lot going for me that year, so it was kind of nice to have something right. fun to fall into. But anyway, it would mean a lot to me if you went ahead and read it. It was pretty cool, and I appreciate people who did read it. I guess a lot of people did already read it and reached out to me, and I appreciate everyone. It does mean a lot. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you put a lot of time in it, so it's always good if people...
So funny, actually, that was one of the faster... It usually does take me a while to write things, so it'll take me several days. That was one of the faster ones I wrote, because it was so, like, spur of the moment. I saw him coming back, and it was just... I didn't realize how much emotion I had in him coming back, you know? Mm. And it was just, like, it really made me happy. And so I just, like, just started writing, and it was really, I think, probably 2 days. I got it all out. Which for me is fast. Just because it was. Yeah, it just made me happy. He's my guy. So, Tarje, you know, just keep on racing. Race until we're all gray and falling apart and covered in.
Makes me think of Simon Ader because I feel close to him.
Yeah.
Probably because he's the closest to my age.
Yeah, he's your guy, right?
I really hope that. That the trend doesn't continue and that it goes, that it improves again next year.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Look straight to the top. Yeah. One more overall and then make it to the Olympics. And then you have my permission. Then you can retire. Cause you know,
yeah.
38 years old. It's okay.
Yeah.
Hey, this is actually pretty long for an episode in late April. So did you have something else?
No, I just wanted to, correct us that, the Italy Winter Olympics are in Milan/Cortina d'Ampezzo. So some link to the actual mountain area. And they also had it in Cortina in 1956.
1956?
Yeah. And then in Turin in 2006. So
2006. Yep. That one I remember. Speaking of Olympics, I distinctly remember 2006, the Winter Olympics. In my parents' house, there's this big blue couch, and it was on the upstairs, we just got a TV up there, and I remember I was watching the Olympics at night, right up on that big blue couch, and I just distinctly remember the feeling of like. I don't know. I just felt so, I don't know why it felt so adult. I was like, yeah, I'm sitting in the Olympics, you know, watching all by myself.
Right, yeah.
Which really is at that age is probably a sign of me just being a kind of a dork, but, I don't know. It was enjoyable. It was fun.
Yeah. I'm going back through, my earliest memories of Winter Olympics, but I do vaguely, I think that I vaguely remember Lake Placid. But more for the miracle on ice when Team USA, the hockey team, beat the Soviets. But I don't specifically remember if that was really my memory or if it's just from the footage I've seen afterwards. But then Yugoslavia, I vividly remember because the war broke out not that long after.
Yeah.
And you know, I for some reason remember the footage of you know, imprints from explosions in the Olympic Stadium.
Yeah. Ugh.
And then Calgary, I actually don't have a lot of recollection from the. I do some Eddie the Eagle. I definitely remember that, but maybe just because of the time difference. Yeah, and then Albertville and Lillehammer was definitely where I would spend as much time as I could in front of the TV. But anyway,
say so Lillehammer wrap it up first. That's my first. That's and anyway, I've shared that story before. But yeah, I think this is good. We saved a little bit. I've still got a little bit that we can use next week or the week after, whenever we reconvene. And then we'll be getting some interviews locked down in the next few weeks. And yeah, look, we're going to be rolling through the summer. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Triathlon doesn't
I really hope to do a summer visit of Antholtz, but we'll have to see if that's going to happen or not.
Oh, summer visit of Antholtz. I really want to make it to an event next year. Probably not going to happen. Maybe it will. I really want to go to Lenzerheide. So more to come on that.
That'd be cool.
And but next summer, so summer of 2025, I will be in Oslo. So we'll, you know, go up there and hang out and take some selfies up in Oslo and at the stadium.
And where will you be flying back to from Oslo?
Well, probably not Orlando, Florida. That's yeah. Anyway, so it's a trip that we've had planned or we've wanted to do with my parents, and I think we finally have decided that next summer is going to be the summer to do it.
Yep. That's awesome.
Yep. So, all right. I think that's a good place to leave it. So, talking about our future
plans. Thanks for listening.
Absolutely.
Everyone. And we'll be back with some updates on our analysis and writings and other news and then some interviews. So
yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
All right.
Take care, man.
Talk soon.
Bye.